Curious. You would make an excellent cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Join the community at Cephalon Squared on Twitter and Facebook, or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. Now, sit back and enjoy the show. Here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day all you Cephalons, and welcome to episode 35 of Cephalon Squared. I'm your host, Cephalon Greg. I'm joined by Cephalon Lucas. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. It's great. It's a great day. It's been a great week. Day.
Why is it being? Why is it a great day and a great week?
Because it's been cold and rainy.
Okay. Fair enough.
Which is a great segue into weathercast.
Yeah. Like we need a segue. What's the weather
still,
like,
by the way,
Lucas, in sunny, wet, old, whipsweet? Who knows what it is? Let's find out.
Well, at 7 p.m. on Sunday evening, it is currently 22 degrees Celsius, and it's raining at this very moment, which I'm loving. The only downfall is it is 95% humidity.
Oh, damn. That is totes ridiculous.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully with that humidity, we can expect more and more and more rain to come.
Yeah, damn. So down here in Melbourne, it's not 22 degrees, which is 71.6 degrees Fahrenheit for all you Americans out there. It's 21, which is 69.8 degrees Fahrenheit. And I have a new phone, and it doesn't tell me... Oh, there's the humidity. 77% humidity. So, interesting.
So it's actually pretty close tonight.
Resting. Yes, it is. It is. We're feeling similar.
I feel you, Lucas. I'm glad you
through the ether. Mm-hmm. I'm reaching
feeling
out
through
to
the ether.
Mm-hmm. Someone's got to. Anyway, so how's your week been? How have you been in terms of Warframe, etc.?
Well, this week in Warframe, I finally managed to get my hands on Baruch. And
you fell in love.
That's an understatement. He's now in my top three, right up there with Zephyr and Nyx. I wasn't expecting to enjoy him as much as I did, and I just before the podcast started, I actually just put the fourth former into my Baruch, going for a five former build. I've already mapped it out, know exactly what I'm doing, what's going where.
Damn.
But yeah, he's great. He's fantastic.
You really did fall in love with young Baruch.
Yeah.
And mine is still only rank 12. He's got some leveling to do. I just haven't found my stride with him as yet.
But, I'll give you a little bit of a hint, and this goes out to all the listeners as well. Baruch makes the talons very, very fun.
Talons? Oh, that's secondary talons.
The throwing knives, you know, the ones that detonate. Just let the enemies swarm you, hit your second, which is lull, puts all your enemies to sleep, drop your knives down, jump back, and detonate.
Jump back, it's gonna kiss myself.
Very, very invigorating.
Interesting. Invigorating. That's a choice of words. Ooh, you made a choice there. Okay, fair enough. Question.
Go.
This week we're doing The War Within on the Lorecast. When we go back to fucking Warframes, do you think we're ready to do Baruch yet?
Good question.
I'm proud of it. I went to school.
You know
for that
what? I'd say probably give it another week. So maybe do Haro first, and then maybe jump back to Baruch.
Oh yeah, Hazza. Yeah. So the article for Haro should be going up this week because that was written a couple of weeks ago, and I'm finally getting a chance to post it
with the picture that was posted in by. Actually, I can't remember, and I can't bring up who it was either because new computer. Well, yeah. Not new computer.
It was a few weeks ago now. It was Derpa Chief.
Yes, Derpa Chief.
Derpa Chief, yeah.
Derpa Chief, yes. So, yeah, it'll be featuring Derpa Chief's capture art for the cover picture.
Exactly.
So, again, congratulations.
It reminded me, I need to start a gallery page, and in that gallery page, I should put up all of our entries. Make people even more proud of all the stuff they've put up. So I will let people know once the gallery page is up on the website. Fungal, yep. I just run out of time, don't I? But no more travel for me. No more travel.
That's all right. You know, to help you out, I'll be writing up the Baruch article. I'm volunteering myself right now. so, yeah. He's cool. He's great. I'm enjoying him.
Okay, very good. Sadly, last week was traveling, so I didn't get a chance to do much of Warframe. In fact, I'm incredibly far behind with Nightwave, so I'm really hoping that now that I don't have to travel, I'll get a chance to actually catch up, because I'm not even rank 9 yet in Nightwave. And I'm missing out on about 13,000 worth of standing this week because I just didn't have the time to do a few of especially the elites, which is really pissing me off. Such is life. That's life. I will have time from now on, so I'll be able to do it. I've also been playing a bit of Division 2, which is fucking hell a fantastic game. Get out there and give it a shot. If that's your thing, it's very different to Warframe. You need to play balls in instead of balls out, if you get my drift. I don't even know what balls in might mean, but it made me laugh when I thought of it. So I said it. I don't think of things before I say things.
That's why you've got me on the show.
I still say them. It's not like you control me or anything.
No, but you need at least one person who actually thinks before they speak.
That's true. That's true. It's balance. It's a bit of balance to the show. And the other thing, I got a new phone this week, like I was saying before, so I'm now the proud owner of a Samsung Galaxy S10 Plus. I'm at the forefront fancy of technology. I'm special. I've had a shitty Oppo phone for the last 2 years, and it's been crap, and everyone's been laughing at me. Now I've got a cool phone for cool kids, so nerd. Anyway, moving right along. The news. So this is a big-ish episode. There's quite a bit to talk about. We'll probably smash through the news pretty quickly. There's a lot of news, but it's quick and easy stuff. Discussion, we're going to go into DevStream 125. And Lucas has... Lucas? Not just Lucas, but both of us have some interesting topics for our beginner and advanced topics today. Some different stuff. We decided to go down different paths. So I'm excited. Indubitably. You've been saying that a lot this week. Is that on your word of the week? Did you learn that?
I think it's a word of the week. It's not, I didn't learn it this week, but it's just comfortable. It just flows off the tongue this week.
I do not think that word means what you think it means. Anyway, do you know what that quote was from?
Nope.
I'm disappointed in you, Lucas. The Princess Bride. Go watch it. Anyway.
I've seen it. I don't retain useless information.
You should. No, knowing things about The Princess Bride is not useless. I'm disappointed in you. I am. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
I could feel it. All right, feel you across the ether.
Yes. See? Told you. Ether touching. That sounds dirty. Let's not say that again. All right. The news. News. That's just to change the tone a little. So, the first, what would you call it? It's a specific pack just for the console.
Platform bundle.
Beautiful. Yeah. That's why we have Lucas here again to think. So the first platform bundle has been released for the Switch, and this is called the Esteem Pack, and it comes with a skin for Excalibur.
Nice white, red, and blue.
Yeah, skin for the Guandao, and it comes with the Guandao as well, and some platinum. And if you have the means, I mean, it's only like 10, 15 Australian dollars. It's not supremely expensive. I recommend grabbing it because the Guandao is a fantastic weapon. And if you don't have it, it's a good, quick, and easy way of getting it, because otherwise your clan has to have done the research and you've got to buy it and all that shit. Plus, you'll get slot and a catalyst with it, so do it. I recommend grabbing it.
Oh, indeed. The Guandao is still one of my favorite melee weapons, so yeah, I definitely agree. Jump in, get it. It's great.
What Lucas said. All right, the next one. They're advertising, DE that is advertising their annual cosplay competition at TennoCon. And you know that they choose the winners up on stage at Tenno Live. So if that is your thing, and you're going to TennoCon, that is, get working on your gear. Get working on your cosplay. There's always some really good, surprisingly damn good stuff.
I saw last year recently, had some amazing ones.
Yeah. I remember the Barrocketeer and Harrow. Harrow
the won, didn't he? Yeah, yeah, right. Actually, yeah, Harrow won last year. Yeah. Someone dressed up as Harrow, and it was an absolutely amazing costume they put together for Harrow, and it was fantastic.
Pretty damn impressive. Did you see on Twitter recently there was a lady over in the US somewhere who made a Trinity costume?
I did see that, yes.
Fuck, it looked good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, props to her. If she turns up, she's winning. No doubt. So yeah, if that's your thing, get out there and do it. You can win prizes. I think the first prize is 1,500 Canadian bucks. It's worth like $1.50 or something. I say that because I'm Australian and our $1,500 is worth the same as well. Sad face, sad panda. Anyway, you want to do the next one? You do the next one. Go on.
I will do the next one. Nightwave Episode 2 is now out on all platforms. So if you go to your Nightwave little tab at the bottom of the navigation and listen in on the, the track, I guess, you can actually get told the second part of the story, and it is fascinating. Things are shaping up to be an interesting story for Wolf of Saturn 6. We did say that, fingers crossed, they were going to throw out episode 2 throughout last week, and they came through and delivered, and it's good.
Yeah, and now that I think of it, we're probably going to finish The War Within right around the time that, in terms of the lorecast, right around the time that Wolf of Saturn 6, I was about to say Wolf of Wall Street, the Wolf of Saturn 6... finishes up, so maybe the next lorecast after War Within, we might do a wrap-up of Wolf of Saturn 6. That would be interesting.
That would be. It'd be great.
Sorry.
Yes.
All right, next one's quick and easy. Shamrock Color Picker is available in the market on all platforms, but it's only available until March 20. This is released every year for St. Patrick's Day. And it's just a free color picker, and it gives you more colors. Go out and get it. It's worth one credit in the market. All platforms, grab it.
Yeah, blues, greens, oranges. It's great.
Indeed. Next.
Next one. Tenno Gen Round 15 is now out on PC. I haven't really had a chance to look at everything, but I have seen that there are quite a few pretty-looking pieces. Yeah, nice and simple one again. Get out there, pick up some of those lovely, lovely pieces of art.
Yeah, I can't even remember what's in this one. I think there's a Garuda skin, there's a Nidus skin. Oh, that's right, that's the sick-ass, kick-ass Nidus skin is out. That was supposed to come with the big wings Sayandana, but the wings didn't get through. Plus that's a whole bunch of Sayandana stuff. Tenogen operator stuff. So... yes.
Oh, go is out there. Get it. Zephyr Grax in this one?
I don't know, to be honest. 15?
I feel a bit ashamed of myself not knowing this.
Yeah, if anyone was going to know, I would have expected it to be you. And now that you don't know, again, disappointed.
And again, I feel it over the ether.
All right, so I'm just looking at the picture, seeing if I can see Zephyr in there. Can't see it. I see the Excalibur Ion, though. That's also a nice one. All right. Coughing, clearing my throat. I'm good at that. Next one is... get out of my way, you silly thing. Ah, of course. Deck 12 and the Exploiter Orb is now unlocked and available on PC, and apparently very, very fun. So if you are a PC player and you have some good high-level gear, while the Buried Debts event is running... you can go find Deck 12 and take on the Exploiter Orb, and I've heard very good things. I've heard there's a lot of bugs as well, but it's supposed to be lots of fun.
Just going back to the Tenno Gen, it seems we have Garuda Successor Skin, so the first Garuda Tenogen in-game is out. Nidus Night Hunter skin, that's the awesome one that is missing the giant wing Syndana. Mm-hmm. Ivara Astrea skin, Saren Blade of the Lotus skin, Excalibur Ion skin, Rhino Ion skin, and Misa Kudigra skin.
That one.
Yeah.
Nice. I thought I saw a Mesa in there.
Yeah, and there's a new Revenant helmet as well, with some awesome Nikana skins. Ooh, very pretty.
Yes, yeah, there was a few weapon skins in there and a few operator bits and pieces, so get out there. There's lots of cool stuff. Okay, there is new fan merchandise available at the website For Fans By Fans. If you order using the code 6YEARS, so 6YEARS, you can get 15% off, which is pretty sick. Some of those t-shirts are fucking phenomenal. So get out there and have a look. And if you do purchase before March 31st, you go into the running for a Mesa Prime Access prize.
Very nice, very nice.
Next Amundo.
Next one, very simple one again. At this very current point in time, the double credit weekend is live. So if you had the chance to play around with that, yeah, index away. I did a little bit of index this morning with a couple of our PS4 clanmates, and just a little bit, and I've racked up 8 million credits over an hour. So yeah,
nice,
definitely worth it.
Nice. I did not get a chance to do any credit farming. I am much disappointed. Oh, well. Next one was a big surprise to all, but definitely something that we appreciate. Operation Buried Debts is now in certification for all platforms, and yes, that includes Nintendo Switch. This is less than 10 days after it was released on PC, which in terms of updates between platform cadence is virtually unheard of. So it's amazing that the teams managed to get so close between releases, especially because we were so far away at one point. We're about a month away apart.
Yeah.
At the start of the year, maybe longer, 6 weeks even. Now to have us at 10 days apart is fantastic. So look forward to that, people. It'll be this week. Of course, that means you won't be able to fight the Exploiter Orb immediately. You'll have to go looking for the, I forgot what they're called, something or other, fishes.
The fishes.
And once you find all of those, it will then unlock the Exploiter, but it'll take probably about a week or so. Cool, fun stuff.
And with that, don't forget, we'll also, all consoles will now be getting the melee changes.
Yes.
So, another thing to look forward to.
And a whole lot of other stuff, including, drum roll, I can't be a drum, but apparently Lucas can, including extractions from long-term survivals. And
woo!
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Endless missions you can now extract from. The way that you actually extract, just so you know, when the extraction time comes, if you want to extract, you go to the extraction point, and when the time limit counts down, you will extract on your own and everyone else will keep going. So that is a cool way of doing it. I like it. Bring it on.
Nice. So basically you can extract at any given moment.
If you wanted to, yeah. Mm. Probably best to wait until
the 5 minute marks, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But still.
But, if things get a little bit hairy for you and you don't think you're going to be able to reach that 5 minute mark, then if the rest of the group wants to stay behind, you can take off.
Exactly. Or if you have some sort of emergency. All right. So that is the end of the Warframe news, or the official Warframe news. Now we have some announcements for ourselves, which is wonderful. So we're 3 months in and we've got some new stuff happening. We've been threatening this since we started the podcast. So when we started the podcast, one of the things that I really wanted to be and do was I wanted to be a community podcast. So I wanted to have community interviews with people from our community, but I also wanted to have interviews from the wider community of Twitch streamers, YouTubers, all of that kind of thing. Now, we probably focused on growing our own community more initially, which was, I think, a good idea. Our community is now thriving, and we have a fantastic community on both Facebook and Discord. But we finally have got our first streamer interview coming up this week. We have an interview with an Aussie, so I'm glad to have been able to track down this particular streamer because I wanted to start local for us, and that is Backyardist TV. So we have spoken with him recently, and we will be posting that interview as a separate special episode, probably on Tuesday. I haven't decided exactly when. We were tossing up whether or not we were going to insert it into a normal episode or release it as a special episode, but because it went on so long, he's a friggin' fantastic guy. We decided to release it as a separate episode. So look forward to that. We have some really good discussions in there, actually, and he's a really good bloke.
Yeah, really enjoyed the interview. It was quite entertaining and informational.
Yeah, exactly.
Great guy.
Infotainment. There you go. It took me a while. Infotainment. So yeah, look out for that one, and hopefully it will be the first of many. If you do know or are friends with or whatever any Warframe partners, please, you know, if you can, put us in contact with them. We do reach out from time to time to different Warframe partners, but you know, we may not yet have that star power to be able to lure in some of the bigger guys. We'd love to start with some of the smaller guys. I mean, Backyardist isn't that small. He's actually got quite a following. We would be happy to get out there and start interviewing people now that we know how fun it is. It was really, really enjoyable. All right. The second announcement for Cephalon Squared is, at PAX Oz this year, we are planning to throw an event. Now, I don't know what it's going to be just yet. I still need to find out whether or not DE is going to be doing a Tenno VIP this year in Australia. And if they are, we may just tag along on the side of that, or we'll figure it out. But we are planning to be there. We may even do a live podcast if we get enough interest. So if you are Australian, or even if you're a Kiwi, or if you're nearby, or if you were just planning to come to PAX Oz this year from another country, let us know. Tell us you'd be interested to checking us out and you know, getting in touch with us, grabbing a beer and having a bit of a party. At PAX Oz this year, it's October, I think 11th or around then. Keep an eye out, stay tuned, more info to come. Of course, we need approvals for all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I just wanted to announce that that's the plan and get people excited about it. So more info to come. I'm even hoping to get Lucas down.
So it'll be good if we can work this out. I would love to actually sit down and have a beer with a few of our fans and, yeah, a bit of a chat. It'd be a great time.
Exactly. And I don't drink, but I'd love to have Coca-Cola with you. But anyway, the last thing we'd like to announce, we were going to announce the winner of the giveaway today, but we decided we'd give it another week because we did get a lot of people who were really interested and who have entered. But we're going to repost on Facebook page and group. And all previous entries have already been recorded, so you're already in for the running. But if you're yet to enter, now's the time. So join our Facebook page or our group if you're a new listener. Go to cephalonsquared.com. That's where you can find links to all of our stuff. And find the post about the giveaway, and you too could win 500 Platinum, a Redeemer. It's not a Redeemer Prime, it's just a standard Redeemer. A 3-day affinity booster and a 3-day credit booster, I think it is. So that is our bundle that we have going to whoever wins. All right.
Cephalon bundle.
Anything else you wanted to mention on the news before we go into DevStream 125?
No.
Yeah, it was quite a beefy one.
There was a lot of news.
Exactly. So exciting stuff for us. Exciting stuff for Warframe. And DevStream, I'm excited. DevStream 125, it's like the L episode, remember that?
L episode.
God. DevStream 125, so they started off, as usual, doing a whole bunch of admin, blah, blah, talking about the Gift of the Lotuses that were going to be live, all of that kind of stuff. They then went on to show off Nyx Deluxe. So Nyx Deluxe still looks the same, but she's going to be coming with a shotgun skin. They mentioned the Tigress, but they weren't certain if it was a Tigress skin, but they did show it off. It looked pretty cool. What did you think?
I thought the shotgun skin looked amazing. Now, if it does turn out to be a Tigress skin, I don't know how I'm going to feel about that. I kind of want them to do like a generalized shotgun skin, but if it ends up just being Tigress, then I guess beggars can't be choosers. It still looks amazing. I haven't used my Tigress in a long time. I know it just melts everything, and that's why I haven't used it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, actually. It also didn't look like it was just a Tigress skin. It looked like it didn't look anything like the Tigress, so there's no reason why it should be just a Tigress skin. If it's going to change the look of the weapon so drastically, then it may as well change the look of any shotgun, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what it comes out as, but it did look pretty cool. Want to do the next one?
Yes. More operator hairstyles. They are bringing in male hairstyles, and some of them actually look really good. I think they showcased two.
I can only remember one, but my memory is shit at best.
Yeah, it was 4 a.m. for me, so I could have just been seen double.
Yeah, Lucas was the better Cephalon this time. I didn't get up. I couldn't get up. I'm too old for this shit. It's not shit. It's awesome stuff, but I still got up. I got up 2 hours later, and I watched the replay of it, I watched it on Twitch.
Yeah, so I got up at 4 a.m. and watched, and I may have been seen double, I don't know, but either way, they showed off some hairstyle, and it looked great. It's great that they're finally going to be doing more of a male hairstyles. At the moment, there's not really a lot in terms of gender specific. Everything kind of seems either more tilted towards the feminine side or unisex at the moment. So I think this is gonna be pretty good for them to actually even it out a bit.
Yeah, I made a little Negasonic Teenage Warhead, so I don't need hair. Well, where it going, you don't need hair. Anyway, next. An addition so we talked about, I think it was last week, that you could unlock a second energy color. And obviously they sat down and thought, how are we going to implement this in game? How are we going to give people a second energy color? You know, there's got to be a reason for it or something, blah, blah, blah. And they decided that when you form an item, you will unlock a second energy color slot for more nuanced fashion framing. Now, what this means is it gives you more than just the ability to give yourself more mod capacity when formering. You're actually going to have something to show off on your frame that makes it a little bit different than other standard unformed frames. So I, for one, think this is a fucking fantastic idea. Lucas, your thoughts on the idea?
Yeah, I completely agree. It really shows how much effort people put into particular frames, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, when they showed it off initially, I was like, I can't tell the difference. And I suppose in action, you may not tell the difference, but when they put on, I think it was Revenant, and you could see that it was only working on half of his...
It was working on his arm.
Yeah, working on his arm, and the rest of his body parts, the dual color system wasn't functioning. You could massively see the difference, and you could see the additional depth to the colors. And I think some people are going to come out with some really, really cool ideas in terms of color mixing and things like that. It's going to look really cool.
Oh, yes. So that should be definitely good, especially after they fix it up and actually get it working properly. That should be amazing.
Fuck yeah. Next. Yes.
Next, they showed off Wisp again, and during the last dev stream, they didn't have the right accessories on the alt helmet, so they apologized to to everybody about showing off the Wisp booty. That will be essentially covered up with the proper accessories of the alt helmet. And she is coming with her own primary weapon, and to both of our to both of our eyes, it kind of looks like a sniper. And I did see, I did kind of point out that it looked like it had a very large suppressor on the barrel. So maybe, just maybe, we'll be getting a silent sniper.
But they did have a few different versions of it, so obviously it's still going through the
through the works.
Yeah, it works. So maybe that one that looks like it has the massive suppressor on the front may not end up being the one that gets chosen, or maybe it has like a special freaking ability.
Unfolding kind of mechanic, I don't know.
Like an alternate fire you can pop on a suppressor or something, who knows?
Either way, it looks great.
Yeah, bring it on. All right, so not really by accident, but I don't think they had intended to show it off. The Dex anniversary this year, which usually brings Dex Furious, Dex fucking, what's the swords called? Dex Jewel. Jewel Scanner. Dex. I can't remember what it's called. Okay, the one that's got a.
Can't remember.
Doesn't matter. It brings some Dex weapons. Dex Sybaris, Dex Furious, and Dex Jewel Swords.
Yeah. Well, no, they usually make it that it's every Dex that they brought along in the previous years. So that means also their Syndana and last year's Excalibur skin.
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course. The Excalibur skin. That was pretty damn cool. But this year, in addition to all of that, they'll also be bringing... the Dex Dacra. That's what it is, of course. Dacra. They'll also be bringing the a Lysette skin, or a Lysette, as Reb Ford called it, which looked pretty cool. Kind of had like a scaly look to it, I thought. So more skins for your Lysette is cool to me, so then not everyone looks the same. Bring it on.
Although, you know, everyone's going to be using this skin.
Yeah, they will for a while, but eventually that'll sort of figure itself out.
Eventually.
Next, Lucas, go on, announce. Ooh,
next one. They showed off the next Prime Access. And ooh boy, does it look good. And ooh boy, did they have some jokes to make about this one. Equinox Prime.
They weren't very funny ones, though.
No, they were painful. Very painful. The thought of farming 9 pieces for Equinox Prime is painful, but thankfully they mentioned it's only going to be the normal 4 pieces for the Prime. With Equinox, they're also going to be bringing in the Strativa Prime and the Torpedo Prime. So they are 2 very nice weapons.
Looking forward to the Torpedo Prime, to be honest, and the Strativa Prime. They're both going to be good weapons, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a lot of people are looking forward to the Torpedo Prime. That seemed to be one of the favorite pole arms in the past.
Hat tip to Mothhop in our Discord. Pretty sure that's one he likes.
That's fantastic. It's looking amazing.
The Equinox Prime skin actually, I thought, looked fantastic. Probably, in my opinion at least, even better than Mesa Prime. I think it just looked amazing, and it's making me want to play Equinox, who I generally feel a bit meh about because she's just such a pain in the ass to juggle all of her abilities. But, yeah, it looks amazing, so I'm definitely going to have to get it. And she's the Prime's going to be so much easier to farm than the standard frame. I don't know. They're going to have to do something about that one day. Unless they're just going to put them all as rares, which would be a pain in the ass.
Maybe.
I don't think they will, though. They didn't do that with Chroma.
Well, anyways, also coming along with it will be a new Syndana, the Isabeau.
They pronounced it Isabeau. I probably spelt it wrong, but that's how they pronounced it, yeah.
The Isabeau Syndana and an armor set that they showed off, and they look amazing. I really do want that Syndana. In order to get that, you'll have to get the full accessory pack with the Prime Access, so look forward to that when that comes out.
Yeah. Have your money ready. Oh, yes. All right. The next thing they showed off, because they really just showed off a whole bunch of things that they've already showed off, really. It was an interesting dev stream, but Rebsford was pretty sick, so I guess we should really just be thankful that we got a dev stream at all, really. So they showed off more of the Planes Remastered, and it still looks fucking phenomenal. Phenomenal?
Yes. Phenomenal.
It looks exactly what Lucas just said. Cannot wait. And they demonstrated that conservation is now coming to the Planes. So they actually had, when Reb entered the Planes of Eidolon, there were a couple of Chondrox, as you know, sometimes sitting there over to the right, and she shot them with her tranquilizer gun. And she was immediately able to run up and grab that one and send it on up to the ship for conservation. So that's pretty cool. They did announce, of course, that some floofs are coming along naturally, and along with a new critter to the Planes of Eidolon alongside the Chondrox and the... I could have just gone without saying what the other creature was, and now I have to try and remember what it's called.
The little rat thing.
The little rat thing, yeah. The rat rabbit.
Yeah, that thing.
I'm not going to remember.
They also... when they showed off the Planes, they also showed off again the Thumper. Yes. And... This time, they didn't have it on it last time, but this time the Thumper appeared to have massive cannons on it.
It didn't fire, but it did have cannons on it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's... this thing is, just looks like it's getting more and more dangerous by the day, so this is going to be
I'm
awesome.
I'm okay with that, yeah.
They also showed off the Atlas Deluxe again, and he still looks amazing, but now they've decided that his golems have been redesigned to resemble the Deluxe skin, and they look awesome.
Yeah, it just looks better and better. I love Atlas. Even though I love Atlas, even I can admit that he's just not good enough to be my main, and I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who do main Atlas, and good luck to you, but he's just not really the best. But I still love him because I just love punching stuff. It's fun. I'm not a violent
punch
person.
Frame.
I like to punch things in the game. All right. They also discussed enemy level scaling, and particularly these are just some answers to some questions that people had sent in, and someone was asking about whether or not you could have enemy spawns in solo play that would resemble that of four-player play. So if you have played in, say, the Planes of Eidolon or Orb Vallis before, if you go in solo, it's slightly easier than it is when you go in with a party, because if you go in with a group of four people, everyone needs the challenge, so they up the challenge a little bit by scaling the enemies up a little higher. So people asked, basically, is there a way to turn on a hard mode? So they are thinking about that. That's pretty interesting. So, I don't know if I'd ever do it unless there was a reason to do it. But
Another thing they actually mentioned with that was that part of the question was asking for more of like a floodgates open horde mode kind of thing, you know, more enemies spawning when you're doing solo play to equal that four player play. So that was one of the things they also kind of discussed in that as well, and that's something that they want to kind of maybe look into, which would be great. I don't think that when you're doing solo play you get enough enemies.
Yeah, definitely not.
It'd
be a bit boring.
Another question that was asked was, will there be more Umbras? And it has been discussed, but it doesn't look like there's anything in the works at the moment. As they did mention, you know, it took them something like 2 years just to get Umbra Excalibur out. So that does not look promising for us at this point in time, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I have seen some people out on the interwebs talking about that they think that the wolf is actually an Umbra Prime. An Umbra Warframe. simply because he howls and Excalibur Umbra howls, and Excalibur Umbra has an eye missing or part of his mask missing. Bit of a spoiler, but not a massive one. As does The Wolf, and, you know, just a couple of these things. I think that's probably looking into things a little bit too much, personally.
Yeah.
Because that suits the Excalibur Umbra lore very specifically, and it's not going to suit all Umbra, because they even mentioned that they just don't think they can write the lore for all of the Umbras, and they're just trying to figure out, if we release Umbras, how are we going to do it? We can't release more with massive storylines like they did with Excalibur, so if they do it, how are they going to do it? Personally, it's still a big question mark from what they said. I don't think it's guaranteed in any way, shape, or form. I think they probably will one day, but still seems very, very iffy to me, and yeah, I doubt the Wolf is a frame in at all. He's just going to be another enemy, probably.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Excalibur Umbra was enjoyable, but I don't think adding more Umbras is really necessary.
Completely agree.
I mean, it would be cool to receive maybe two or three other Umbras, but not overflood it like they did, like they're kind of doing at the moment with, you know, normal frames and primes.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think it's necessary, because all they are is another edition of that Warframe. And realistically, Excalibur Umbra fills a place in many people's arsenals that they didn't have filled, and that is the Excalibur Prime spot. So do we really need another version of Frost or another version of whoever? I don't think we do. I'd prefer to get more different Warframes, personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see. All right. The next question that was asked was in regards to Wolf of Saturn 6 and whether or not the content that we've got access to now will be replayable after Nightwave ends. And the simple answer was yes. So, will the Saturn 6 content be replayable much like an event? Will it be coming back for a few weeks? Will it be coming back for the whole 10 weeks again? Will there be downtimes between seasons of Nightwave, and in between they'll just replay old Nightwaves? Who knows? It's yet to be seen. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think it's important for newer players to be able to have access to some of the old content. But having to play Nightwave again at a later date, I don't know.
I personally would just be happy if they brought back the Wolf.
Yeah, bring back the Wolf and some of his bits and pieces, you know, the Noggle and the fucking... What do you call it? Insignias? Glyphs?
Glyphs. Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Bring stances. That stuff back.
Emotes. Emotes, yeah.
Emotes, all that kind of stuff. Make it a shorter version, just a quick little event. Or even when you kill him, you've got a chance to have some of these things rather than the whole thing come back. But, you know, they didn't say the whole thing will come back. They just said some of the content will be replayable. So we'll see.
Realistically, all they said was yes.
Yeah, that is all they said. So there is no more detail in that. I turned that into like 2 minutes of talking.
Good job.
It's a skill, people. This is why I'm a sales guy. Skip the next one, Lucas. Go on to the next one.
All right. Exploiter Orb is now available on PC, and they are listening to feedback. It honestly looks like an amazing, amazing boss fight. I did have a chance to watch a few streamers over the weekend, actually including our good friend Backyardist. He was actually smashing out a couple of rounds of the Exploiter today, and that fight does look very, very amusing, and I cannot wait to sink my teeth into it.
I still haven't seen it yet.
It's very mechanic strong and raid based.
Ooh, nice. I like the use of the word that you knew would trigger me in an exciting way. Trigger.
A bit of a, you know, there's a bit of environmental change as well. So you start the battle in one area and it ends in a completely different area. So it does look amazing.
I like amazing things. Mm. So yeah, one of the things they mentioned is that they're reconsidering, or they're thinking about the rewards that drop from her to encourage replayability. Because at the moment, once you've got the stuff you want from her, there's no reason to go back. So yeah, looking forward to it. And the reason I told Lucas to skip one is because we're just talking about the Buried Depths console update going to cert, so we've already mentioned that. Just so you don't feel like you missed anything.
Yeah, some of the rewards for Exploiter are actually kind of make it feel like they're going to keep the Exploiter in the game long term. Because from what I've seen, that's where you get the pieces to Hildra from. And also there's a chance at acquiring one of the new footstep the cosmetics.
Ephemera. Yeah, Shocking Step, I think it is.
Yeah.
Or Shocking, whatever, Ephemera. So yeah, it's, and they can't exactly lock a whole Warframe behind an event. That would suck. People would crack the shits.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Cool. Yes. All right, the next thing they showed off is that Wisp will be shipping with some Kavat armor that is very Wisp-themed, and it's similar to her aesthetic. It looked pretty cool. If you like Kavats, like Lucas does, then maybe you'll want to get her stuff. Or you used to like Kavats more than...
Oh, I love my Kavats. I'm just not too sure about this armor. I don't think this armor is enough to make me want to remove my Moon Kavat skin.
Fair enough. That's a good point. That is a cool skin.
Yes, very, very cool.
Last one.
Random mod packs are leaving, and mod packs will come back. And they will be set themed. So they gave an example that one of the themes will be like a cold pack. So open it up, you have a chance at getting any of the cold.
I don't think it's going to be a chance. I think you just buy it and you get all of the cold mods.
Well, even that.
Yeah, because they said specifically random mod packs will be going and set mod packs will be joining them. So they'll probably have, you know, cold, heat, electricity and toxin packs, and you can buy them or you can still farm them in game. So it gives people a reason to buy them, and they're no longer random, so people can't call them, you know, fucking gambling, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Box themed.
Well, really depends on how they go about it. I mean, do they keep it the same as it is now, and it's one mod pack gives you five mods, or, you know, it really depends on how big they decide to actually make these mod packs.
They could do anything, but there's no reason to keep it as five. They'll probably just have the, like, they specifically used cold, so they'll probably just have the cold mods, probably the cold dual stat mods, just the rare ones. So, you know, maybe they only come with three mods, but they'll be cheaper.
Quite possibly.
Well, who knows? It's hard to say. Maybe they'll just be the same price, because now you specifically get exactly what you want. The pricing discussion is a difficult thing, and I don't think either of us are really qualified to be having that discussion, because
I don't really want to. Yeah. I don't really want to be qualified.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be headache causing. No, thank you. Oh, yes. Anyway, I think that's a good move, though. Nobody likes a loot pack. Nobody likes to buy something expecting to get something and then get something that they've already got, that kind of thing. So, you know, getting rid of the randomness is a good thing.
I think one of the biggest things for me with those packs was that whenever you bought any of them, there was no prompt on what you got. You just had to run over to your mod section and go, "What'll I get?"
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then So here's a tip for beginners: if you do buy one of those packs, the only place you can see them is when you go into your mods. You look at
recent mods.
They'll be the first ones there.
Yeah, they'll be the newest ones at the top of the list.
That's the only way of knowing. All right, so that was DevStream 125. What did you think as a whole?
There was a lot of cosmetic stuff shown. A lot of cosmetic stuff. I think there's definitely some nice, pretty looking things heading our way. I personally would love to see more stuff revolving around good old Mr. Thumper.
Yeah, definitely.
My attention is fixated on that Thumper. It's like a giant adorable spider dog.
Yeah, it looked pretty cute.
And the way it moves is just hilarious.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that joining the fun and festivities on the Plains of Eidolon. So, it was a really interesting dev stream because it just there was new stuff shown off, but it was just sort of adding on or expanding on things that they'd already shown. So it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, more refluffing than anything.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. So I will go now into my beginner's topic, which is all about Warframe etiquette. So these are basically things that longer-term players have ingrained in them. They already know all this stuff because they learnt them from someone else, I guess. And newer players may not know that these are the unspoken rules, so to speak. And realistically, they're just rules so that you can be fair, I guess. To each other, have a better, more enjoyable time, etc., etc. So, there's a few of them. There's not a lot. There's probably more. If you can think of more, let me know. I did reach out to the people in the Discord, and I got a few people giving me some suggestions. So, thank you to Benji and Derpa Chief and Rathok, I think, were the main guys who came back to me. But let's get right on into it. So, the first one, everybody knows this one, but it is number one, the most important. Wait for everyone else to get to the elevator before setting it off. Nobody likes getting to the elevator to find that somebody else has already taken it, gone up, and run off without them. It's really, really, really not very polite, and it pisses me off every time it happens. In fact, whenever it does happen, if I accidentally get on and turn on the elevator, I usually go back down to get everyone else. That's just the type of guy I am. I have done it once or twice and I feel really bad about it. So yeah, wait for others before you set off the elevator. The next one is, it should be common sense, but it's not. Ensure that everyone else gets their 10 reactant before finishing off Fisher missions. Now, sometimes you can, I was playing something, and Lucas was playing with a couple of friends of the podcast last night, and they were playing with some guy. I can't remember what was happening exactly, Lucas, but you were really trying to let that guy get his 10 bits and bobs, and he just wouldn't do it. You're playing on an extraction, and you guys weren't putting
excavation. We were trying to not to power up the excavation node, and the other guy just kept throwing in power cells. We already had our 10; he was sitting around about 6. So we really did try to help him out, but yeah, he kind of threw himself under the bus by constantly putting more power cells into the excavators.
Yeah, silly guy. But anyway, nobody likes to finish a Fisher mission, a Void Fisher mission, without getting their 10 reactant, because that means you don't crack open your relic. So if you can, try your best to let everyone else get their 10 reactant. Even if you are playing, say, a capture mission and you've got 9 reactant right when a guy starts, I hate when that happens, and then you kill the capture guy, the capture target, just help him run around, kill some other dudes. It probably won't take them too long to get their 10 reactant. So help other players. The next one, if you enter the Plains of Eidolon at night, you should expect, if you go in public, that you're probably going to be put into a group that's going to do the Eidolon mission. So go in solo or as friends only if it's nighttime in the Plains of Eidolon and you don't want to do the Eidolon. Or if you are going into the Eidolon, choose the mission specifically that you get, the bounty that you get from Khonzu, so that you're only going to be paired up with other people that choose that specific bounty. So just try and think about other people when you want to do a specific quest or mission. But on that note, if you do choose to do a bounty, or if you do agree to someone on the region chat, someone says, hey, need help with a mission, make sure you do the mission that they're expecting that you agree to do. Or if you do go into an Eidolon mission, make sure you help out with the Eidolon. Don't be that guy. Anyway, moving on. Don't spam waypoints. So don't use your waypoint button constantly to whatever the hell you want to do. Use it carefully. Use it properly. So do use your waypoints to point out helpful things. Where the exit is, for example, if you think people are getting lost. Cephalon fragments, mandacord bits and pieces, statues, frame fighter fragments, all of those little things that people might be interested in actually collecting. Even if you've got all the Cephalon fragments, if you're in a mission with some low-level players, they probably don't, and maybe some of them are interested in collecting them. So highlight them to people. It's very helpful, and people did that to me when I was a new player, and I really appreciated it. So do it for others. Don't auto-start missions. So you know when you're in a group, you can choose a mission, and if you keep pressing the buttons, you can immediately start the countdown and go straight on into the mission. Don't do that. Nobody likes that. Wait until everyone actually accepts the mission. Give them time to switch up their loadout, particularly for sorties. So remember that with sorties, there are different mission types and there are different effects. What's the word?
Prerequisites.
Prerequisites, all that That's kind of thing. So let people have the chance to actually prepare themselves for the sortie mission at hand. Don't start the mission automatically. And if you do, apologize. It's just nice to be nice. If you can, revive your teammates. They'll understand if you can't because you're getting killed or there's too many enemies or whatever the case may be. But nobody wants to lose affinity. So revive your teammates if you can. On that note, stay within affinity range. So there's something that some people refer to as doorway heroes or hallway heroes in Warframe. It seems to be something that gets referenced in a lot of articles about Warframes, but honestly, I've never heard people call anyone a doorway or hallway hero. Maybe it was a very, very early term in the game. But basically what that means is don't run off and get all the kills on your own, because nobody else gets the affinity. Stick together, especially if you're in a defense mission or a survival mission. Stay within affinity range. How do you know if you're in affinity range? Well, you've got three little circles next to your health up in the top right-hand side of the screen. Those three little circles mentions how many other people you are linked to in terms of affinity. So if you're playing with three other people and you've got three little circles and it says a number three underneath it, that means you're within affinity range of every other player on your team, and every kill you get will be paid out as XP to your other players, and every kill that they get will be paid out as affinity to you. So keep that in mind and stay within affinity range. It's 50 meters, it's pretty big. Don't rush off and get all the kills yourself. Okay, in survival missions, only use life support under 30%. Lucas and I only use life support under 20%. There is no reason to use them any other time, because you should, if you're getting enough kills and you're getting kills fast enough, you should be getting plenty of life support drops. The other thing is, if you're early in the mission and you're getting lots of life support drops, keep in mind that each of those drops are 5% life support. So if you're already on 97, don't pick it up. Wait until you get to 95, just to sort of stretch out that time. Be smart with your use of life support. Don't use a life support node until you're under 30% at the very, very highest. Also, when you're playing void defense missions in the void, be careful using the lasers, because the lasers will kill the other people on your team. Best to just not use them. Or if you do use them, you know, if you're in voice chat, tell the other people you're using them. Otherwise, make sure no one's around when you use it. And lastly, the only other thing that I could think of in terms of Warframe etiquette is don't kill the synthesis targets. Generally, synthesis targets will pop up, crop up, pop up, whatever, in a mission because someone needs to kill that, but needs to scan that particular synthesis target. So if a synthesis target pops up and you kill them, you are being annoying to someone. If you're playing with your friends and you know nobody actually cares that much, kill them. Go for it. But if you're playing with public groups, don't kill the synthesis target. All right, that's all I could think of for Warframe etiquette. Could you think of any others, Lucas, or are you ready to go on?
Yes, thank yous and pleases whenever you're doing trade chat or any chat in general, realistically.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in trade. Pleases and thank yous go a long way.
Yeah.
Agreed. Okay. So that's Warframe etiquette, and on to Lucas's advanced topic. Go for it.
All right, so I'm going to actually start looking at focus tonight. So to start off with, a little bit of a heads up. I won't be talking about how to unlock focus, because that reaches into spoiler territory. It's a mechanic that's in the game that you reach at some point if you follow along the star chart. That's all I'm going to say about that. This is a big, big, big topic to talk about, so I'm not going to be talking about everything. I'm not going to be talking about focus farming. I won't be talking about lenses. And there was one other thing that I'm not going to be talking about. Specific abilities in focus trees. So, with all that done and said, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the basic stuff. What are the focus trees? Well, focus trees are the skill trees associated with the Tenno disciplines, each tree focusing on a different path of and combat style that may affect frames and operators. These trees are Madurai, the school of the fighters, Vazarim, school of the protectors, Narimon, school of the tacticians, Unairu, school of the indomitable, and Xenoric, school of the arcane. Each of the five schools give access to 10 skills called ways. From there, they split into three categories. Active, which there are six of in each tree. Passive, there's two of in each tree. And waybound passives, which are the more advanced ones, also two in each tree. Now, active ways are abilities that alter the way you use your operator by augmenting the base skills of said operator. The base skills are Void Blast, Void Dash, and Void Mode. Passive ways are skills that provide enhancements to Warframe's or operator's stats and are active at the very start of a mission. And then Waybound, as I said, very special special thing. They're a different form of passive. Now, while every other skill is only usable in their designated trees, waybounds can eventually be used in the other trees by first off maxing them out with a hell of a lot of focus to pay into them, and then paying an additional 1 million focus and a brilliant Eidolon shard to unbind that waybound passive, and then that allows you to actually use them and equip them in your other focus trees. Now the total focus needed will vary from tree to tree, so here is the total focus needed for both waybounds per tree. Starting with Madurai, you need 3,745,575 focus. That's a big number. Vazarim is 3,710,000, Narimon 3,329,811, Unairu 2,796,568, and Xenoric sitting at a whopping 4,333,818. All this added together is a grand total of 17,206,482 focus needed to unbind all 10 waybound passives.
It's nothing.
Just reading out the numbers, I need to catch my breath. Whew! So another little helpful thing for those with more than one school active, if you were needing capacity for a skill or away, and don't wish to use your primary tree's focus, you can use the focus from your secondary trees to purchase said capacity. As capacity is very much needed, you need the more an ability gets upgraded, the more capacity it requires for you to actually be able to use that ability or passive. Also note that there you can have a maximum of 177 total capacity, and that's for everything over the board, and that costs 12,098,349 focus. Again, there's a shitload of farming. As I said, I'm not going into the farming this time around because there is a lot to it. And also just note that capacity is universal, so you don't have to get 177 capacity slots for each school. It's just get it the one time, then you're good. So that is a basic look at focus trees. You got anything to add to that, Greg?
Not really. For a long time, I was lost with... what's it called? Focus. I probably ignored it for 500 hours, 400 hours, before I finally decided to focus on it. And it, honestly, it doesn't take that long to unlock a few of the stuff. It takes a long time to fully max out a tree. But it really doesn't take that long to unlock some abilities. So once you get your head around it and you decide where you want to put your focus, just do it. It is worth it. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. Now, actually looking at the overall total focus needed for like every tree, every waybound focus, all the capacity, everything, you're looking at 40,562,470 focus.
Damn. That's nuts.
Actually, no, that's just for all the abilities. yeah. Total Jesus. Required focus, 52,660,819.
Fuck that royally.
Yep. So for all of you out there that need to finish their focus trees, you have your goal. I've given you the number.
Yeah, damn. Ouch. Fair enough. All right, anything else on focus?
Nope, just pretty much that kind of opens up further episodes. So if I didn't mention something today, then I didn't mention it for a specific reason. So no need for anyone to jump in and go, oh, you didn't mention this, you didn't mention this. There is a lot to cover when it comes to focus. So if there's something I didn't mention tonight, then I will get to it in a future episode.
Yeah, there's so much to cover on this.
Oh, yes. A very, very big topic.
Yeah, a whole episode on it on its own. All right, cool. Moving right along. So, moving into our community call out, we didn't have any cookies go out this week, but did want to do a call out. So, our friends over at Space Mums Faves, the Faves cast, as they call themselves, have actually scored an interview with Cheryl Mabane, who is the voice of Nora Knight. Not sure how they did that, but they did a fantastic job of getting that. I haven't listened to the episode yet, so I can't tell you. I mean, of course, it's good. I've listened to a few of their episodes. They're pretty good guys. We are incommunicado with the gentleman there, and they all seem like pretty good guys. But check it out. It is episode 8 of the Faves podcast, so look for the Faves anywhere that you get your podcasts. And have a listen. So I plan to have a listen this week and see what Nora Knight has to say for herself. So, yeah
that's awesome. Congratulations, guys.
Yeah, good work. All right. Now, over to us. I've got an iTunes review update. Now, as you know, we are looking to do a live video webcast stream thingy podcast. And we want to do that once we get to 50 iTunes reviews. So I've got a bit of an overview of where we're at. So in Australia, we are on 7 reviews, which is, I think, where we were at last week. The US, we have increased slightly and we've gone up to 20 reviews. Yay! Thank you to our US listeners. You are killing it. Over in New Zealand, we've still got our 3 reviews down there, but still, I was blown away by the fact that we do have 3 New Zealand reviews, so thank you to you good people, you know who you are. In Slovakia, we still have 1, so thank you to Jacob over there. And I did find the UK, and I can tell you that there are 0 reviews over in the UK. So I know we've got quite a few UK listeners. Maybe our UK listeners are Android fans. I don't know. But still, sign yourself up with an iTunes account. Give us a rating. Until we get to 50, there'll be no awesome video podcasts. So
is this where we put on the waterworks and say, why don't you love me?
Why don't you love us? There's only 31 reviews. Only 31 reviews. We are extremely happy with 31 reviews. We're blown away by the fact that you all love us. So yeah, we're happy with them. And again, you don't have to give us 5 stars. Just give us a review, any review, whatever you think the podcast deserves. An honest review is all we ask for. But once we get to 50, that's when we'll have the video live podcast. Video, thank you.
Video cast. Where again, you get to see our ugly mugs.
Yes. My brain rebooted mid-sentence. It does that all the time. It's all right.
Privileges of problem with
being a cephalon. All right, so I have a review from the US. This one is simply titled 5 stars, and it is by a person who goes by the handle Jaroka. So thank you to Jaroka. You have said that our podcast is worth 5 stars because it's Australia's most accurate weather podcast. I think that's accurate. I think that's a good and correct statement. So thank you to Jaroka, or however you pronounce your name, for your review. And we look forward to reading another one next week. All right. Cephalon question time.
Cephalon question time.
Yeah. All right, I'll read the first
one. That was not rehearsed, by the way. No,
not at all. Could you tell? It's fucking brilliant. Scum Death Bastardo, our buddy over in the UK, who I might add hasn't given us an iTunes review. Scum Death.
Wink.
He has asked, what is the best overall frame in the game? What do you think? Lucas says Zephyr.
No. Being on a more serious note, I don't think there is a best frame in the game. As you'll probably hear at some time during the week, we discussed with this particular topic with someone over the last week, and I've got to agree with them. It's more the right tool for the right job.
Yeah, definitely, and it also comes down to personal preference. So there are frames in the game that are mind-blowingly good. There are frames in the game that don't die. There are frames in the game that have ridiculous DPS output or can nuke the entire map or whatever. But it doesn't make them necessarily the best frame in the game. If someone said to me, I've just started Warframe and I just want a good frame, I'm happy to buy one that's going to carry me through everything, I'd probably say something like Inaros or Nidus, just because they can do a lot and just not die, but they're not the best frames. It depends on what those people want to do too. It's hard to say. It's hard to recommend a frame to someone because you don't know what their personal playstyle is. So
that's very true.
Yeah, so my favorites are Valkyr, Inaros, Nidus, Saren. They're my favorites for various reasons.
Yeah, whereas my favorites are, you know, Nyx, Zephyr, my boy Baruch, Because, you know, I'm more of, I've got that real drive for crowd control. Mm. And crowd control is my play style. So if someone was to come to me and go, what's the best crowd control frame, then I would probably like, drop one of those three names.
Hmm.
If not all three names.
Exactly. But, I mean, I play a lot of frames these days. I don't main anything. I don't think I have mained anything in a good 400 hours. And, you know, the last main I had was definitely Valkyr. But I haven't even used Valkyr in a long time. So I don't really see a point in maining anything for Warframe. But, you know, initially you sort of have to. And you'll have your favourite frames, but you'll get to a point where you realise that you can do virtually anything with any of them, really. And that's what kind of annoys me about when people say, oh, no, you absolutely, when you're doing a Tridalon, you absolutely have to have these frames, blah, 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 and blah. No, you don't.
Yeah.
The Tridalon's actually relatively easy. All you need is someone that's going to give you increased damage output and keep the lures alive. That's really all you need, as long as you've got the right weapons.
Yeah, realistically. I mean, for the longest time, I just ran Zephyr for the Eidolon.
And you were taking down three Terries in one night with just Zephyr on your own?
Yeah, without solo, any problem. Solo Zephyr, three Terries.
Yeah. So, you know, it's it's not a big deal.
The metagame is a lie.
I know people out there can do more than three Terries in a night. Not disputing that, but I'm just saying.
It's not needed.
Doesn't matter that much. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, read the next question. Go, do it.
Next question from Rathok. Interesting crossover potential with Warframe and something else. What would it be? Or what would you like to see?
Yes.
I'll throw you under the bus. You can answer this one first.
I would like to see, knowing me and my proclivities, I would like to see something from some sort of horror. I'd love, you know what I'd love to see? Something Hellraiser themed in Warframe. Some of the Cenobites, that would be sick. I'd love a Cenobite Warframe. Any of them, I don't care. Listen to me. I'd actually love a Pinhead Warframe that can shoot out his chains. And I know that Harrow's got chains, but it'd be different, I promise.
More chains.
Yeah, different more chains. More blood and gore. More, do I look like someone who cares what God thinks? Best quote in any movie ever. yeah, Pinhead. Give me Pinhead. What do you think, Lucas?
All right, well, I'm going to dive deep with this one.
Here we go.
Because I've actually thought this out. I know yours was kind of last-minute thinking. Yeah, but I woke up this morning, I saw this question, and I thought, all right, what would I like to see? And I'd like to see a crossover with something in very particular. Now, they've already proven in the universe that I'm thinking of that there is dimensional crossovers because they've already done stuff like Horizon Zero Dawn, Devil May Cry, Final Fantasy, and more recently, The Witcher 3. So, if you haven't guessed it yet, I would like to see a crossover with Warframe and Monster Hunter Worlds.
I hadn't guessed that.
Ah, well, there you go. You know, jump into Monster Hunter Worlds, and you're fighting the infested through the forest world, the forest biome, whatever, and you know it leads up to a massive fight with your tiny little hunter versus Lefantis.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
You know, there's plenty of weapon types in Monster Hunter World that, you know, we've got weapons in Warframe that could easily fit into those slots. I mean, give the Daikyu over to Monster Hunter Worlds as your heavy bow. You know, any Nikana, literally just give them the Nikana Prime and there's your longsword, Galatine Prime. Hey, look, there you go, your greatsword. You know, there's plenty of weapons. But then it would also be good to see some of those weapons from Monster Hunter World cross over into Warframe.
That could work.
Yeah.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah. So yeah, that would be something I'd like to see. You know, weapons from Monster Hunter in Warframe, and LeFantis with some of the weapons from Warframe in Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, interesting. See, I thought you were going to go down the anime path.
Nah, I thought about it, but Monster Hunter just feels more... I don't know how to really describe it. I guess it's just the weapons. It's really based on the weapons more than anything. Like, I would love to see some... like, because both games do amazing weapon designs.
Mm.
Cannot debate that. And, you know, just seeing, like, a crossover of those weapons, even if it was just skins, even if it was, you know, no stats, just skins, that would still be, you know, quite appealing to me.
Mm. Fair enough.
Hmm.
It's not going to happen, though. Sucked in.
No. Well, I mean, I can hold my breath, but no. Unlikely.
Anyway, that was an interesting question. So thanks to Rathok, and I look forward to Pinhead in-game. All right, so that brings us to a close. If you do have a question that you want to ask us for Cephalon Question Time, hit us up anywhere you like. We do have a dedicated Discord channel in our Discord, but feel free to post it on Facebook or send us an email or any one of the other ways in which you may be able to get in contact with us by going to cephalonsquared.com. That's the website. So go there, read our notes, read our articles. We're probably three quarters of the way through writing articles about all of the Warframes. Lucas, note to you, I went and got all of the abilities screenshots today.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good job.
So, yeah, I'm on top of it. I'm not screwed completely until they release another Warframe. Well, until Hildren.
Hildren, yeah.
But anyway, she can wait. Yeah, check out our stuff, but more importantly, see how you can get in contact with us. See how you can join the awesome community on Facebook and Discord. The Discord guys are really, really fantastic and chatty, and if you just want a place to talk about games, regardless of the games, and also talk about Warframe, of course, go to our Discord, join our Discord. Also, if you have questions about Warframe and you want someone to be able to answer them pretty quick smart, the Discord is the place to be. Definitely. Those questions get answered sometimes within 5 minutes, but generally within an hour or so, they will be answered. So I recommend it. CephalonSquared.com for all the information.
And if one of us are on at the time, then pretty much instantly.
Yeah, we're always checking throughout the day, so we're around. But yeah, plenty of people there, plenty of good folk. All right. As you know, give us a rating on your podcast platform, particularly iTunes. Once we get to 50, we'll do what we need to do. If you like what we're doing and you want to give us a pat on the back, go to ko-fi.com/CephalonSquared and buy us a coffee. Don't forget, we do have a t-shirt store as well with a Cephalon Squared logo t-shirt, plus some other Warframe-themed t-shirts from other independent designers that we have shared on our store. To get to the store, of course, there is a link to it on our website under the About tab. It says About Shop or something like that. Otherwise, it's at tpublic.com/stores/CephalonSquared. Check that out. My name is Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules, because I can be. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri, and I am Silverlight, wherever I can possibly be. Silverlght. You know, thank you again to the lovely community for, you know, everything that they do. You know, all the fun discussions we have, the little bits of tips here and there for builds that they share with the rest of the community. It's fantastic. Love always jumping on in the morning onto Discord and seeing, you know, what people have been talking about. So thank you so much. I love hearing from you guys. And yeah, just thank you.
Indeed. So thank you to Jan, at @disco_box for the intro and outro. I've just got him to record a new intro for the new episode that's coming in just a couple of days.
Dun, dun, dun.
Keep your eye out for just one eye out for it. It'll be out in a couple of days. And thanks to you for listening. Please have a listen to our interview with Backyardist TV in a couple of days. Tell us what you think. Tell us if you want us to do more of those and help us get in contact with people that you think you'd like to hear from. Apart from that, we'll be back on Thursday with the War Within.
Lorecast!
Yeah.
Enthusiasm.
I've got to take all the notes. I was just realizing I have to take fucking notes. Anyway, let's move on. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to cephalonsquared@gmail.com or get in touch via Twitter or Facebook. You can also join our Discord or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. See you next week.